Hey, Rhett, look at the camera.
It's lit!
What's cracking? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. That's old man Rhett. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, nice to have you here. Welcome to the jungle. Program is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. A tremendous Thursday to you. Once again, let me set this drill up. I am live. I am in Southern California. I am in our studios. We are being simulcast right now on CBS Sports Network. And yes, I've got another good show for you today. Good content, good interviews, a fun program. Let's get it. If you were doing the right thing and you are isolating and you are social distancing and you've got some extra time on your hands, hit me up. Open phones, 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing right now. I'll lay the program out for you, but it's never too soon to get through. 1-800-636-8686. You know the program is live in Southern California, in the U.S., in Canada, wherever you are. Find us. Maybe for the first time in a long time you're at home during the week, you can watch the radio show on TV on CBS Sports Network. So hit me up there. Find me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, haveatake.com. So lots to get done today. A really good show for you. Coming up next segment, I've got the head basketball coach at UAB, Andy Kennedy. Top of hour number two, a really haunting story, amazing story. Sports Illustrated writer Kevin Armstrong joins us. We'll have him at the top of the second hour. In hour number three, a linebacker with the Arizona Cardinals, Devon Kennard. Those are the three interviews and a ton of content in and around all of that. I'm looking for you to hit me up. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Now, there are a number of hard news items that I could start with. Things that I will get to, things that I want to get to sooner than later. But I want to start something, or I want to start with something a little bit more fun. I mean, really important nonetheless, but something a little more fun right off the top. As the country deals with the COVID-19 pandemic, people are finding new and different ways to step up and help one another. Over the past few weeks, I've mentioned numerous athletes who have contributed money to cover the salaries of arena workers, and are helping out several local nonprofits. And now my guy, retired MLB pitcher Dan Heron, has put his own spin on it. Now I say my guy because, frankly, honestly, in full transparency, he is a neighbor of mine. I see him in our neighborhood gym, or at least I used to until it was closed. And he's just an all-around tremendous dude. Great, great, great guy. Great pitcher, but even a better guy. So he's been serving as the Arizona Diamondbacks pitching coordinator. So he was in Arizona when spring training was closed down. He and his family made a gift to the Children's Action Alliance in Phoenix and the Hollywood Food Coalition in Los Angeles. But even for him, that was not enough. He wanted to do even more. So he announced that he's auctioning off his bobbleheads. All in all, my man has got an amazing bobble collection, totaling 300 bobbleheads. As he tweeted last night, quote, gonna get rid of all 300. Now, keep this in mind. This is not about being at home and wanting to do some spring cleaning. My man is auctioning them off on eBay, and the money is going to go to the two nonprofits that he and his family already support. Once again, Children's Action Alliance and the Hollywood Food Coalition. As he wrote the auction description, quote, my family has already given privately to these organizations. I was trying to think of creative ways to contribute to humans in need during this pandemic. So I decided to auction off my bobblehead collection and attach a personalized signed note with each bobble, end quote. Very Dan Heron of him. Very much in brand. He also told Molly Knight, quote, these charities need help right now, and I want to get more people involved to raise awareness about the great work they do to help people who really need it. I can't imagine not having a home right now or not knowing where my next meal was coming from, end quote. Which is just awesome. Just awesome, that thought. You know what else is awesome? You're not just getting a bobblehead owned by Dan Heron. You're getting a bobblehead with a note from Dan Heron about the guy in the bobblehead. And if you know anything at all about Dan Heron, he is a content wizard. This is where this guy lives. As an example, Vladimir Guerrero's bobblehead comes with a note from Dan Heron, which reads, quote, "Hit him on purpose once. So glad he didn't charge," end quote. Right? Like, Heron's not a small dude. Far from it. He's like 6'5". I'm sure he can handle himself, and he probably would have had the reach advantage on Vlad. But Vlad, he's got the weight advantage, and I'm guessing Vlad could do some real damage on the inside if he did make it out to the bump, and especially if he made it out there and he had bad intentions. If you see a guy step into the batter's box with bare hands, you know he means business, and you know that he knows what to do with those bare hands. Give them to you. Next, if you win the auction for the Zach Greinke bobblehead, you'll get a note that says, quote, "Will tell me that selling my bobblehead collection is a dumb idea," end quote. Hey, listen, if Greinke would say that, Greinke would be wrong, because it's a great idea. In fact, it's the best idea. You're supporting two great causes. You're getting something really cool in return. So, Zach, if in fact that really is your take, you are entitled to your take, no matter how wrong your take is. Where else can you get a Rich Harden bobblehead? No relation. But a Rich Harden bobblehead with this awesome personal detail. Quote, "Would literally punch the screen when I beat him at Street Fighter 2. End quote. You know, I understand that concept of leaving them wanting more. Except right now, I don't want more. I need more. What characters did you guys pick? Did somebody go with E. Honda and drop the 100-hand slap? Who was Blanca? Or did you just go old school, rival v. rival, with a Ken versus Ryu matchup? Gotta know. Speaking of old school, Heron is also auctioning off an old school Oakland A's Reggie Jackson bobble with the note, quote, "I see him at the gym sometimes. I'm certain he could still beat me up," end quote. The fact that Reggie can still move some iron does not surprise me at all. In fact, it makes complete and total sense. I can remember having Reggie on my TV show from the MLB All-Star Game years ago. And he was showing up on that show just after another Hall of Famer had preceded him. This particular Hall of Famer had put on a great deal of weight. Reggie says to me before the segment starts, "Romy, I can't believe that. Can't you just get in the gym? I mean, I do, and I'm way older than him." End of quote. Yeah, so no, it does not surprise me that Heron still sees Reggie in the gym. Heron, man, you're doubling up. He's not in our gym. Anyway, it doesn't surprise me that he sees him in the gym. And yes, I agree with Dan Heron. Reggie could still kick all of our asses. How about a bobble of Mike Piazza? Heron writes, "I remember he hated turbulence." Mike Piazza's awesome. I've talked to him so many times over the years. In fact, last week on this show, I spoke to him. I consider him a good friend. I did not know that he hated turbulence, but I do now, thanks to the legendary Dan Heron bobble sale. The Clayton Kershaw bobblehead. He's got this amazing beard. Heron does not believe it's an accurate representation. Quote, "Could absolutely not grow a beard this thick." Now you got facial hair smack. You're helping two great causes, you're getting a bobble, and you're getting some grade A facial hair smack. It just does not get any better than that, right? Heron even kicks it totally old school, the oldest of the old school, with a Cy Young bobble. And the note that comes with it is, quote, "I won the Cy Young in 2013. My man. Oh, man, that had conveniently slipped my mind. Nice job. Congrats on that. Congratulations, D. Oh, and a year later, I was the NBA MVP. If you win the Manny Ramirez bobblehead, you get this note about what Man Ram did to Heron's pitching. Quote, 19 of 38, 3 home runs, 4 doubles, 1.429 OPS off me. Is that good? End quote. No, not really. Not especially. But at least you did keep him in the yard for 35 of those 38 at-bats, and that's a lot better than most pitchers did. I mean, I can keep going on and on and on because the little notes from Dan Heron are really that good. And the idea is that good. And yes, I admit, I am biased. I like Dan Heron a lot. And I like the idea a lot. And I like the idea of helping nonprofits grow a lot. So this is one of those times where I'm not just reporting on something, I am actually rooting for something. And as you know, I never root for anything. I never root for anything other than something good to talk about, but I am rooting for this because this is a great cause. I would love to see these auctions get really high and raise a lot of money, and yes, it gave me something good to talk about. And here's the other thing. If you win the auction for a particular bobblehead, Heron also is going to send you five other random bobbleheads from his collection. So if you want to bid on them, go to eBay, search for Dan Heron, Dan Heron bobblehead. Don't look for the actual bobbleheads of Dan Heron. They're cool, but they're not going to raise money for nonprofits. Look for the ones of Hank Aaron, Derek Jeter, and more. The auctions all have about 6 days left, so you want to get on there and get bidding. Now, as I think about it, I wish that Dan would have kept that hand sanitizer that he stole from our gym. Given how hard that one a-hole on eBay jammed me for that one head thermometer that was unsigned, imagine what a signed hand sanitizer perform. A hand sanitizer dispenser signed by Dan Heron would have generated for these nonprofits. Imagine how much coin that would have raised, especially when he could have signed it and included a note which read, "Stole this from the gym where I see old man Rome on the verge of stroking out every day on the elliptical." I would have bought that myself to keep it off the market. So there you go. Dan Heron, if you need him. And we all do. What a great idea. What a great cause. All right, I mentioned some other harder news notes, which I will get to, including the NFL draft. Do you keep it where it is, or do you have to move that thing back? It depends whom you ask. A number of the powers that be like it just where it is, but literally everything else is moving. So I will hit on that. What is the biggest thing in the world right now, other than the main thing, the important thing, the obvious thing? What is the second biggest thing in the world right now? I'm just going to put that out there in the form of a question. What is the second biggest thing in the world right now? I'm curious. Hit me up on that. And I'm not doing this to generate some kind of cheesy return or try to fill. This is not my Mount Rushmore thing. I'm really curious if we're on the same page. Right now, other than COVID-19, the most important thing, the main thing, what is the biggest thing in the world? The biggest thing that people are talking about, looking at, thinking about, other than the main thing. I've got thoughts on that thing. Had a great podcast, episode 122 with Matt Money Smith. It's getting a ton of reaction, which I want to talk about. I want to reset the Ed Milette podcast, which is getting a ton of reaction and more. When we come back, UAB head basketball coach Andy Kennedy joins me. So clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, what we want is to go old school with it because we want beef. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. It's not shriveled, it's not dry, it's not tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and tasty, it's not tough. Why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef very seriously. You can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. You can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper. What's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Back in. Good to be here. I am Jim Rome, once again, live in Southern California in our studios, doing what we do. We've got our TV simulcast on CBS Sports Network. We have our radio program live. If Feels good to be here. Lots of good content and a lot of good show for you. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at UAB. In fact, he was named head coach on Friday, a two-time SEC Coach of the Year, second leading scorer in UAB history. UAB was 19-13 on the year, 9-9 in conference play. We are joined by their head coach, Andy Kennedy. Andy, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, Rome. I'm good, brother. How are you?
Man, I'm great. I am really happy to talk to you because normally when I talk to a head coach who has just taken over a program early on in that conversation, I ask, what's it been like since taking over? But I would imagine in this case, I have to think that it's nothing that you've ever experienced. First off, how are you doing and what's it mean to you to return to your alma mater as head coach?
Well, Rome, I am very excited. UAB is a place that has a special part in my heart and in my family's past, and this has always been our home away from home. However, as you said, going through what we're currently undergoing as a country, what a tumultuous time. When you typically take over a program, there's a way in which you go about your business. That has completely changed, as it has for everybody's day-to-day and as we're traveling through these uncharted waters.
We were talking to the head basketball coach at UAB, Andy Kennedy. I want to get into all that in a second, but what was your reaction when UAB first reached out to you?
Well, let me take you back, Rome. I was working for ESPN and the SEC Network. I was doing the SEC tournament in Nashville. I did a doubleheader on Wednesday night, did an hour post-rap show, was told then we were all prepared that the tournament was going to move forward, but there were going to be no people there on Thursday. We then wake up on Thursday and are told they're closing the doors, get in the car, and go home. So as I was driving, I live in Birmingham, when my time at Ole Miss ended, I was very, very fortunate, Rome, to be the head coach in the SEC in my home state for 12 seasons. When that ended in March of 18, by June of 18, I had moved to Birmingham. I didn't really know what the next step was, but again, this has always been my home away from home, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I wanted to be in Birmingham to figure it out. So I had already had a home here. I was driving back from the SEC tournament like everybody. It felt surreal, like what had just transpired. They just canceled college basketball, and 48 hours later, I find out that they had made a change at the helm of my alma mater. I got called by my athletic director, Mark Ingram. We had an initial conversation, and it moved pretty quickly from there.
We are talking to Andy Kennedy, so let me pick that story up right there. So your AD, Mark Ingram, says that since he was working from home, when he had to make telephone calls, he had to do them from the closet surrounded by clothes because he's got four kids and two dogs in the background. So from your standpoint, what was it like being part of a coaching search during a global pandemic?
Well, it was crazy. You know, it's like what we're all going through each and every day, Rome. You know, we're all hoping and praying that we can get back to a level of normalcy sooner rather than later. But we literally don't know what the next day holds. So when I got contacted by Mark, we had an initial conversation. Our university president, Dr. Watts, is also in charge of the biggest hospital in the state of Alabama. It's one of the leading healthcare providers in all of the Southeast. So he certainly has his hands full on that front. I was amazed at how quickly they moved through the channels to make it official that I was going to be the head coach. But they understood the urgency because the players on the team were not only going through a coaching change, but they were going through this life change that none of us have ever experienced, and they needed to have somebody in a position to try to help guide them through all of that.
He is the new head basketball coach at UAB, the second leading scorer in UAB history. So one more thought about that, Andy. Like, Ingram talked about how important it is to be able to meet with somebody in person because you can see that person's body language, how they carry themselves. The story goes that the two of you did meet in person, but you kept an appropriate distance from each other. So what was that meeting like?
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because we didn't even shake hands. We didn't embrace in a normal manner when you meet someone and under those circumstances, because again, we were all trying to be conscious of what we were going through as a country and certainly wanted to do our part. When I then met with our university president, it was the same thing. We met and we literally stayed 6 feet apart and just had a conversation. And I think it was fortunate in the fact that I was in Birmingham. If I was in a place where they would have had to get on a plane, you know, this may not have happened nearly as quickly. It may not have still happened simply because of everything that has gone along with this new normal that we're all experiencing.
We're talking to Andy Kennedy. I get that. You know, the other thing is, after your time at Ole Miss, as you point out, you've been working as a color commentator. You were doing a really good job at that, too. A lot of coaches who get into broadcasting say, you know what, you never lose a game as a broadcaster, so you don't have that pain, you don't have that frustration. At the same time, you don't get the joy, you don't get the satisfaction, you don't get whatever it is you get out of it, you know, the juice that came along with coaching and building and leading and teaching. Is it something you missed? Obviously, right?
Yeah, obviously. You know, I had a great experience. ESPN, the SEC Network were tremendous to me, and it was great for me, Rome, on a number of fronts. I was a coach for 23 years, 13 as a head coach, one at Cincinnati and 12 at Ole Miss. And, you know, you obviously watch a lot of basketball. You're consumed by the day-to-day activities that go along with being a coach, most especially as a head coach. When I was able to step away from that and do it from a broadcaster's perspective, it literally gave me a 30,000-foot view by which I could see things differently. So it helped me from a personal standpoint, but professionally, I think it was invaluable because I had an opportunity to see how so many guys did it and things that I can take and put into my game plan as a head coach moving forward. So it was tremendous for me. But as you said, you don't lose any games, but you also don't win any. And when you're a coach, you want to be involved in that fight.
UAB head basketball coach Andy Kennedy joining us right now. You know, I've spoken to the football coach Bill Clark there a number of times over the years, and he's talked a lot about the growth of the school in terms of his time there. So let me get your thoughts on that. How different is UAB both as a school and as an athletic department now versus when you were a player there?
Oh, completely different, Rome. I finished in 1991. It was literally a commuter school. It was a campus that had popped up in the middle of an urban setting, and you know it was literally a commuter school. Very few people lived on campus. There wasn't a lot of on-campus activity. Now it's completely changed. They've done an incredible job of growing the community around the university. It is a thriving campus in the center and south side of Birmingham. It's barely recognizable to me some 20 years later in the growth that the program has made, the growth that the university has made. I'm really proud of it being my alma mater, and I'm really excited to be taking over the helm of the basketball program, really the epicenter for the start of athletics at UAB. Gene Bartow, the founding father, Hall of Fame coach, was my coach, my mentor, and I'm really anxious to try to continue his legacy at UAB.
All right, so what does an Andy Kennedy UAB basketball team going to look like on the floor?
Well, I want us to be ultra-competitive night in and night out. And when our fans sit in the stands at Bartow Arena, I want them to come in with a full expectation of victory, and I want them to take ownership of what we are trying to accomplish. Ultimately, we will be an extension of the university, and our goal is to compete for championships at the Conference USA level each and every season.
All right, so last thought, you've got the issue of recruiting. The NCAA has suspended in-person recruiting until at least April 15th. How do you go about working with those restrictions right now? What's your process?
Everything is on the phone, Rome. I mean, whether it be FaceTime or just having a phone conversation, not only with guys that you were trying to convince to come and be a part of your program, but also the guys that are currently on your team. They're not on campus. I don't even have an opportunity to meet with the players that are currently on our roster. So it's certainly been a challenging time, one in which is very, very unusual on every front. But we're working every day to try to move this program forward.
And an exciting time, to be sure. He is the head basketball coach at UAB. He was named head coach on Friday. Once again, a two-time SEC Coach of the Year, the second leading scorer in that program's history. Andy Kennedy, my guest. Andy, great to run you down. Really appreciate the visit. And I know when everything gets squared away, we will do it again.
Great, Rome. I appreciate it, man. Big fan. Stay safe.
Appreciate you, too. Stay safe. Good job, Andy. Really good to talk to you. That is like a prototypical COVID-19 story, right? And book. He was hired in the midst of the lockdown, shutdown. That's amazing. So UAB knows who they wanted. They move quickly, and they get their guy. Andy Kennedy, hope you enjoyed that. When we come back, I'm still looking for the answer to the question. If the main thing, the biggest thing right now is COVID-19, and it is the most important thing. If we just kind of move that off to the side for 1 second and acknowledge it is what it is, the main thing, the most important thing. What is the next biggest thing that people are focused on right now? The next biggest thing people are talking about? Are we all on the same page with that? I want to get into that when we come back. Also, I do want to talk about the NFL draft. Lots of discussion, and there is a lot of debate on both sides of this. Should the league keep the draft where it is, or do you move it back? I could argue either side of that if I were a hot-taking head, but I have an opinion on that, too. All that coming up, 1-800-636-8686. Kevin Armstrong from Sports Illustrated with an unbelievable story, a haunting story, at the top of hour number two. All that still ahead. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Once again, our thanks to UAB head basketball coach Andy Kennedy, Sports Illustrated writer Kevin Armstrong, who has written this piece, this really amazing piece about an extremely haunting story, an unbelievable story. And we'll have that at the top of hour number two for you. Devon Kennard is a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals. He joins me in the third hour. And I want to remind you that if you want to see some college basketball this time of year, you still can. Tune in to CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind. I've been doing just that myself. You can relive some of the best moments from March Madness. All right, once again, let me open up the telephone lines to you. 1-800-636-8686. This is the best time to call because, well, most of you are at home. You have time on your hands. Phone lines are open. If it's the right telephone call, I bump you right to the front of the line. You do not have to wait. Maybe you've heard the show. Maybe you've never thought to call the program. Maybe now is the time to call the program. 1-800-636-8686. I've also had another question out there. The main thing, of course, is the main thing. COVID-19. We know this. If I were to ask you, aside from that, what are you focused on, or what are you thinking about, or what are you talking about, or when you check on your friends and family, what are you all talking about? What is the thing you're sharing? I want to ask you that before I get to this take. What is the thing that you are thinking about and talking about? What is the content, as an example, that you're consuming right now? Aside from the main thing. All right, so a friend of mine, somebody I used to work with who was a really high-level guy, still is a really high-level guy, he texted me last night from another state to check in. How y'all doing? What's going on? And I said, you know, we're fine. We're great. We're just grinding through it, trying to do all the right things. How about you? How are you? How's your family holding up? And again, this is a friend of mine, somebody I worked with and a really high-level guy in another state. He's not in California. And his response via text was perfect. His text read, quote, "It's bizarre. You go for a walk outside and everything seems great. You get on your phone and the world is ending. And you think things can't get weirder. Then Tiger King says, hold my beer." The guy's so right. My guy is so right, except for that part about the world ending. Although at times it may feel like that. And I know there are moments where it feels like that. But but the world's not ending. But that part about the Tiger King, I'd ask if you've been watching, but I think I already know the answer to that because pretty much the entire world is. Right now, as television shows go, especially at this time when people have time and when premium content truly is king, it is the Tiger King and everything else. I mean, this show is that bat bleep crazy. Again, normally I would reset you and say, have you seen the show? But I already know the answer. That's all anybody's talking about other than the main thing. I mean, the most talented screenwriters in the history of Hollywood could never dream up the characters, especially the main character that you see in this show, Joe Exotic. I mean, I'm not going to give you a full breakdown, but I can just give you a couple of initial thoughts. My man is a trip. The bleached blonde mullet, the outfits, the hats, the eyebrow ring, his freaking music videos. This guy's like, I don't even know how to describe him. He's like the bastardized creation of Ted Nugent, Lenny Dykstra, and Steve Irwin, all rolled into one, and then dusted with some drug that none of us knew even existed. Side note, RIP, Steve Irwin. I'm only invoking your name because of your fearlessness around dangerous exotic animals, the same thing that Joe Exotic happens to share. And Joey X might not even be the strangest person on that program. Doc Antle is out there in Florida. Of course, Florida. Taking river baths with elephants, practicing polygamy with his employers, and he happens to be Joe Exotic's mentor. Did you know that illegal exotic zookeepers who smuggle and breed tiger cubs, did you know those types have mentors? Like, I didn't even know these people existed. I didn't even know this world existed. You know, I mean, I remember reading or seeing that Mike Tyson had a tiger. Or maybe that was just a hangover. Or maybe that was real. I didn't know this whole world existed. I don't think any of us knew this whole world existed. I didn't know this world existed. I didn't know these people existed, much less had other freaks in the industry that they looked up to. But they do. And then there's Carol. And depending where you come out on Carol, either you think she is the do-gooder that is there to do the right thing, or you think she's a fraud, or you think that she might be the most misguided and counterfeit hero in television history. You might think that she's there to save the world, or you might think she's the biggest kook ever. You might think that she's trying to do the right thing, or you might say that she's literally everything that she says that she hates. I mean, she's out there allegedly trying to liberate big cats from small cages while keeping big cats in her own small cages. And then selling the experience of touring her sanctuary to her 2.4 million adoring Facebook fans. And by the way, not paying her staff a lot of money, if any at all. Oh, and what do you know? What do you know? Come to find out, Carol has an extremely checkered past, and many believe that she may have killed her rich husband. And I don't even want to go to the spoiler alert and tell you what the allegations or the accusations suggest in terms of what she did with the body, allegedly, if in fact she did anything or had anything to do with it. This show is wild. Like, the characters that make up the Tiger King miniseries are so unbelievable. I don't know about you, but I'm watching this and I have to keep slapping myself just to make sure that what I'm watching is actually real. That it's not made for TV, that it's not a movie, that I'm not dreaming it, that these are, in fact, real people. And these are things that are happening. I mean, it's that wild. Like, is this a TV show that somebody created, or is this really a doc? I mean, nothing that I can say right here or do right here will give these people justice or do them justice. The egos are incredible. Their willingness to openly discuss their alleged crimes, because they so love the sound of their own voice, and the look of themselves on video is absolutely amazing. You will not believe what these people say and do. And I'm not going to say that I'm glad sports are gone right now. I would never say that. But I'm kind of glad that I've got nothing getting in the way of me watching this freak show. Like show prep. Because it's like the most insane thing I've ever seen. And already I can't wait to get home and spend another 45 minutes of watching Joey X. Unbelievable. All right, I want to go to the phones right now. I have a call from a doctor in Queens. A doctor in Queens, New York. And he is calling from a hospital that I'm not going to get into. And I want to get him on the phone. It's Saqib Rahim. Saqib, doc, it is nice to have you on the program. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Good to talk to you. I'm hanging in.
Good. Listen, I appreciate you calling the program. So, first of all, let me thank you very much for the work that you're doing and everybody on the front line is doing. I know how tough things are there and everywhere in the nation right now. Let me get your thoughts. What's the purpose of the call? And it's good to have you on the program.
No, thank you. I'll be honest. I was just listening to the replay yesterday before your show came on and heard the shout out to New York and just wanted to thank you for bringing up the issue, because I think this is a hugely important public health issue that a lot of people are taking seriously, but I also think that there's parts of the country that don't fully realize the gravity of what we're facing. And so I appreciate you bringing it up and calling attention, because although this is happening in New York, what we're trying to do is make sure it doesn't spread to the rest of the country the way that it's hit us.
So let me get your thoughts on this. For those who do not understand the gravity of this situation, what is your message and what would you like folks to know that maybe they don't know?
So I would ask that, you know, people take this really seriously. You know, these calls for social distancing, proper hand washing, proper precautions, isolating yourself if you have symptoms. I would just ask that people really take those things to heart, because we definitely do not have this under control at the moment. I've been working in the hospital for 15 days straight on the coronavirus service. I have 24 patients that are positive on my service alone, and the number just keeps growing. And we see all types. Although the vast majority of people will be fine, doesn't mean that only the elderly are going to get sick. And we really have to adopt public health measures to get this under control, or we could see a situation that gets much worse throughout the country.
Saqib Rahim is a doctor in Queens. He is calling from his hospital right now. He heard me talking about New York City on the Daily Jungle podcast. Let me get your thoughts on this. This is a message that obviously myself and many other people have tried to hammer home. And I'm not just singling out young people, but for anybody who thinks that, you know what, it's really not that big of a deal, I'm going to be fine. Can you also remind folks that it's not just about them? There's a much greater responsibility here in what you do and how you act.
Absolutely. I think, I saw the videos of some of those spring breakers, and funny enough, I'm from South Florida. So it did hit home a little bit. And the issue is people really have to think outside of themselves more than we've ever had to before. It's not just if you get the virus, but who you potentially infect if you do have it, and what their response will be. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, although those that are young and healthy will probably be fine, we're seeing cases where I've sent patients to the ICU who I would never have expected. And with that, you know, there's a lot of older patients that I've had passed, because this is unlike anything we've seen. It is not the flu. Despite what some media reports have said, hydroxychloroquine is not a wonder drug that's going to fix this. And we really have to be extra cautious, especially in this period.
Can you share really quickly, what is it like? I mentioned that New York was the epicenter, and certainly there's so many other places dealing with so much right now. What is it like where you are? What's it like in New York?
I mean, it's scary. I've definitely never seen anything like this in my clinical career. I really hope I never do again. Someone was asking me kind of describe what it's like, and I said it somewhat facetiously, but I would say it really is like shadow boxing a ghost. you know, I don't know where this is coming. I don't know how to hit it. And, you know, I would say I speak for all my colleagues, because this isn't really about me. There's thousands of healthcare workers here in New York that are facing this. And it's really unlike anything we've seen in modern medicine. And I'm hoping we'll ultimately be able to look back on this as a moment, as an inflection point where we improve healthcare for the better. But right now, we're right in the middle of that struggle.
He is a doctor on the front line. He was listening to the program, Saqib Rahim. He is in Queens, New York, at a hospital that I shall not mention. Doc, I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing. I want to thank you for being on that front line and putting yourself at risk to help so many people. Thank you for listening, and thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Stay safe.
No, thank you so much, and stay safe yourself.
Saqib Rahim, he's a doctor on the call-in line, so I did not know that was coming. All right, my thanks to the doctor in Queens. He said that he did not hear the show live yesterday, but he heard the Daily Jungle. CBS Sports Radio is helping you stay connected. We remind you to stay home if you are sick. If you're not feeling well, stay at home as much as possible and continue to practice social distancing. For more information, go to radio.com/stay connected. radio.com/stay connected. My thanks to the doctor. When we come back, Sports Illustrated writer Kevin Armstrong with a haunting story. That's coming up, and our phone lines are open. You are in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Hour number two, straight ahead.